This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And let's try on this Friday to settle all the rigged election business that we've heard in this campaign. Could we?
I come from Africa, where we have rigged election, people kill each other. And when we look at United States election, and we see after the election, somebody saying to his opponent, congratulations, is something good for us. I'm not saying America democracy is great, is perfect, but when we look into that and we see in different countries people killing each other for rigged election, and I heard some people giving into that rhetoric of Donald Trump, that's sad for me, for real, because we'll look at America as a model for democracy.
That's 33-year-old Lassina Kone from the troubled African nation of Ivory Coast expressing outrage over Donald Trump's hinting with a sledgehammer in Wednesday's televised debate that he would, quote, keep us in suspense about accepting the outcome of November's election. The charge of rigging and manipulation is one Trump has repeatedly made throughout the campaign. And it was a joke last night at the traditional Al Smith dinner.
It's amazing I'm up here after Donald. I didn't think he'd be okay with a peaceful transition of power. You know, I've had the privilege of being at the Al Smith dinners in years past, and I always enjoy it. But remember, if you're not happy with the way it comes out, it must be rigged.
But there's nothing funny about talk of rigged elections and the behavior on the part of politicians that encourages cynicism and potentially erodes the precious trust that makes democracies work. Michelle Dunn is director and senior associate of the Middle East program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
In a country like the United States, where you have two strong political parties, you know, they really keep an eye on each other, right? And one is definitely going to call out abuses by the other. In a lot of other countries where you don't have that, then there's nobody to do it. If there's no independent electoral commission, if there's no strong civil society, if there are no strong political parties, then there isn't anybody there. You know, one of the ways that countries in the Middle East nowadays are controlling the outcome of elections is by controlling the candidates, just controlling who gets to run and excluding candidates. And a lot of countries, Iran, for example, you know, it has this guardian council, this clerical body that excludes large numbers of candidates and candidates who have a real chance of winning elections for all kinds of reasons. So this is another thing that a lot of countries are doing nowadays so that the process looks clean on election day, but in effect, they've controlled the outcome in advance. You can't have this happen as easily in a country where you have vigorous political parties and you have a primary system and all of that.
Speak to the issue of trust, because ultimately what is the fuel of democracy that really runs the entire system is a sense of trust by the electorate that the system works and that their vote is expressed in some way. Whether we're talking about the United States and Donald Trump or places that you've studied around the world, if that trust starts to erode, you've got real problems. And that can happen whether there is real intimidation or not. It's about the perception of the voters.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think what's incredibly important is that going into elections that voters and candidates and political parties believe that even if they lose this election, there's going to be another day. There's going to be another chance, right, in 2 years or 4 years or whenever, you know, whenever the next elections come. They believe that the process goes on, that the process has integrity no matter who wins this time around. And that's what keeps the process peaceful, you know, that people don't need to resort in violence. As I've seen in the Middle East, especially since the Arab Spring, there were really some difficult elections where people didn't yet have any confidence in the process, and therefore there was this sort of zero-sum thinking, right? I have to win, and I have to eliminate the others because I don't know whether there will be any chance. And also, you know, people fearing that if they lost the elections, they'd end up in jail, because this has happened to a lot of people in the Middle East. I mean, I think that was incredibly damaging, having Donald Trump say that Hillary Clinton would be in jail if he won, because it really evokes what happens in other parts of the world. And it's really been unfortunate because there are a lot of undemocratic powers in the world today, and Russia kind of leads the pack here, that are trying assiduously to undermine confidence in democratic processes, whether in Europe or the United States, and cast aspersions on our systems and undermine confidence on the part of our voters and lead them around to the idea that, you know, maybe they'd be just as well off with a sort of authoritarian system such as Russia has right now.
Would you say that that trust in the institutions of electoral democracy are easier to erode, that trust is easier to erode than it is to restore?
It's easy to erode partly because of the openness of our media, and it makes the transparency of our society and so forth. It makes it easier for outsiders to come in and do that kind of thing. I think, you know, Americans are aware, and they should be aware, that there are imperfections in our system and that there are abuses at time, and they need to be addressed. And that's totally legitimate. But there's a world of difference between that and a system that is essentially rigged and in which there's no real recourse. You know, I think it's important for people to keep in mind, even though we have abuses of our democratic system, even though we have human rights abuses and so forth in the United States, there are ways to redress them. And that's what makes a democracy so different from an autocracy, for example.
Michelle Dunn is director and senior associate of the Middle East program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She spoke to us from Washington, D.C. Michelle Dunn, thank you so much.
Thanks, John. It's been a pleasure being with you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.